sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Nice shot, John. That was right on target.
Thanks, Dan. I love just the squeeze of the trigger, the releasing of the idea, and watching the ideas of Darwinism go down to the bottom of the depths of the sea. I'm John Kurlinski.
Oh, you're so cruel. I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to this week's episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues that revolve around evolution and creation, lighthearted because we know no other way, and it's also a lot of fun.
It's just a lot of fun.
Well, last week, Stan, on Sink the Beagle, we were kind of talking about ideas of faith, of the starting point for understanding existence, that we are not orphans. Jesus said, unless you become those trusting children, mm-hmm. you're not even going to see the kingdom.
There's a humbling thing we are expected to do.
And with that, it comes understanding. Mm-hmm. And you have to become like a child trusting a father that the father provides. You just believe what he says. And God says, if we have that kind of relationship, not immature necessarily, he's asking us to have a mature trust mm-hmm. that is unconditional.
Well, I don't know. The kids that I know tend to feel they do know everything, so well, I don't know.
Well, anyway. But
humbling nature.
Today we want to go on and take mm-hmm. it the next step.
Okay.
Trusting what? Trusting mm-hmm. that God does what? We believe that God has revealed himself, and we touched on it a little bit, that we can't make sense out of our existence apart from revelation. And the scriptures we discover, or at least what we understand about Revelation, is there's two aspects of it.
Well, let's start with the first one. And the first one is what has traditionally been called general revelation, or let's just say what we see out there. The universe, the world, ourselves, in the mirror we look and we try to understand by looking at, shall we say, it's a rough equivalent of going into an art gallery, studying works of art, sculptures, paintings, and trying to understand a little bit about the sculptor or painter himself by his artwork. You can get some of it, but in terms of total reality, you'd like to know more, but that's beyond just looking at the work of art.
And so you have to basically go and ask the artist a question.
Mm-hmm.
And the artist is there on site or has left a record of what he was thinking mm-hmm. and what he meant by the work he has created.
Which moves us into this second area, which is special revelation. Now, the first, general revelation, actually the Bible even refers to general revelation.
Yes.
In Romans.
It talks about God is understood by the things in which he has made. Mm-hmm. You can come to a knowledge of him, which means, I think, more or less what it's talking about there in Romans, that there's a being that exists out there that's huge. He's awesome.
Yes.
You should fear and tremble before a being that can speak things into existence, who can mm-hmm. make flowers and birds and make thunderstorms and create mountains, and there's something out there huge and big.
Paul was writing to the Romans at the time and in the Roman church, and he was saying to those Romans who were intellectual people living in a very educated society, he said, you should be able to tell by looking at nature that there is a designer. Nature speaks volumes of information about how it's not randomly put together. It's organized. There is a deity. You should be able to see that by looking. And to some extent, John, the intelligent design movement that we've talked about on Sink the Beagle has kind of taken that up. As
yes.
saying you should be able to see some things from
we
nature.
We should be able to at least... They're trying to convince the pagan or atheistic scientists that, hey, there's something out here, but they're accusing him of being, quote, creationists, probably are too, but they don't want to admit that because they get, for different reasons, various reasons, but we don't want to digress too much.
So that's general revelation. You should be able to see some things about God, his power, his love maybe of beauty and some other things.
Yes.
But not
it's,
everything.
It's
but
an
there's
incomplete
some problems.
Picture.
There's some problems in the universe.
Yes.
And there's no answers.
How do you understand the problems? And then that's why God gave us special revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually has come in several phases. The first phase, actually, if you want to go back to what the Bible describes, is probably an oral phase
mm-hmm.
where God talked to people like Adam. He did talk to Adam, we know, face to face.
Right, Noah.
But then they met other places. Mm-hmm. He talked to people, and the information that Adam and Noah conveyed mm-hmm. eventually got recorded mm-hmm. by Moses. So you have mm-hmm. the spoken word orally transmitted. Mm-hmm. Finally, the beginning of the writings, which took actually, 1,600 years, maybe, 40 authors or so,
yes,
give or take
exactly,
a few.
Yes, exactly, right.
Then becomes the written tradition. Mm-hmm. But there was even still, we go one more. Mm-hmm. One more.
Well, yes, based on some very interesting words that Apostle John writes, John. And when he talks about it in the first chapter of John, he even alludes to creation. He said, for the longest time we had the Word was with God and the Word was God, but now he became a revelation in the flesh. He actually dwelt among us. We beheld him, and he was a revelation of God. Very personally and with little doubt as to what the meaning was.
And so what
taking really, questions, answering right there on the spot.
So what has this revelation done? Well, basically, when God spoke to humanity, he told us where we came from, how he did it, and what went wrong, so we could have answers. And then how to live in a right, what the Bible would describe, a covenantal relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a covenant with Abraham or a covenant with a nation, it's still the covenantal relationship model throughout all of Scripture.
A personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
That's what God is after.
And then, but if you really wanted to know God and get very intimate, just the mountaintop experience of, and the understanding through symbolisms and ceremony wasn't enough. Because that didn't solve the problem.
Just laws and things.
So God sent his son. And that's what Christ came to do, was to solve the problem.
And he even said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
And if you've related to him, you're in relationship with your Creator. And we can talk about that in some future Sink the Beagles of what the New Testament says about creation.
But Jesus seemed to indicate in his own teaching style that when he would refer to Old Testament writings, he seemed to suggest that those were valuable, were accurate revelations of God. He would say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was talking about the written revelation, the special revelation that came through the Bible, that was a good source for man to know God.
So we go back to our original thought.
Okay.
How do we know that there's a Creator as a Christian? We believe in general and special revelation.
Okay.
Now what's happened is man has tried to understand general revelation apart from special revelation.
Apart from the Bible.
Apart from the Bible. In other words, man has been looking at nature and trying to understand nature without talking to the author. Like you say, back to your initial illustration, it's looking at the picture but ignoring the artist and trying to make sense of the picture of life and the picture of existence without consulting the author or the painter of that existence. And it makes it quite interesting, and as a result of that, man has come up with his own ideas that are what we'd call wrong.
Wrong. In a word.
In a word, yeah. You're wrong. Okay, next.
Next question. So there have been this problem, and it comes from, and we even suggested last week on Sink the Beagle that part of the issue is the stubbornness or the lack of humility of man, the intellect of man becoming so large that, say, I can figure this out without any revelation from God. I will just simply study the picture until I get it all. And if you think about it, John, the picture that people look at in nature is a picture of beauty and glory and power and tremendous complexity, but
it's an accident.
Yeah, right. No. But there's problems. We see problems there. We see thorns.
We see that cheetah knock that little roebuck down and bite in the neck.
Yeah, that's, you know, what kind of a loving God would do that? And so there's something the matter. It's like going to that art gallery and seeing a master sculpture, but there's been, you know, the arm is broken off and there's things going
Someone
on
smacked
here.
The nose.
And it's still there, and you'd like to ask, well, what happened? I think I got the rough idea of what it should have been, but what happened after that?
And so science has approached it differently and does not have a good explanation, especially one that would be, I would call, gratifying. In the end, it ends up to be a godless explanation. You know, when you come to it, and now if you take that idea of general revelation and interpret it apart from the text, basically what happens is you come to Genesis 1 to 3 and you look at it based on scientific interpretation and you say, Moses was just misinformed and was misguided and he really didn't know what he was talking about.
Nice old guy, but he just didn't get it. He wasn't scientific.
And if you're a Christian scientist, well, then you have to come up, well, what do I do with these chapters? And so what's happened in the Christian realm among many churches, unfortunately so, is that they've spiritualized away. They're saying that, well, these were written for polemical reasons or theological reasons or poetic reasons, just to let us know that God sort of started it all and did
it. He had something to do with
it
somewhere.
But he didn't do it this way.
Yeah.
that there's nothing scientific about those chapters. And I will grant them that it wasn't written for our scientific necessarily curiosity. It was more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we would differ a little bit in the sense that we would say that this, yes, there is an element of poetry in it.
Right.
There is a polemic against the gods of Egypt and the gods of the pagan world.
There's a structure to it in 7 days and so forth.
And there is theology teaching that God is the big God who can create.
Right.
That does not necessarily, though, deny its historicity. We part company with the people who want to stick with just general revelation for the explanation of origins and say...
Which is a trumper in their thinking.
Yeah, we think that all these things also are historical.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's how you do it. When you approach it from faith, you take that position. And we even have a torpedo text, which I think talks about this approach to Scripture and to general and combining general and special revelation.
And it really kind of speaks on faith in a way that we're not quite used to if we have sort of a science orientation. It says in Hebrews 11, which is the faith chapter, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God.